what this fight proved is that being bigger and more athletic is cheating. Like, that's essentially what it means, right? Like, it's basically...
All right, welcome back to another episode of Two Fight Fans Podcast. I'm their first fight fan, Colin.
And I'm the other Stuart.
So, this past weekend, we had a little interesting boxing match between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Now, my first thought before this, like last Friday or whatever before the fight, when I was thinking about what we would talk about, my first question was, what happened to Ryan Garcia? Like, what is going on with him? Because, again, without following much of fighting in the boxing world, I did know Ryan Garcia, but I just knew him as, like, this kind of young, new-age fighter who has used, like, YouTube and TikTok to become, like, more popular. And he was supposed to be, like, the new... pretty boy, golden boy of boxing. Like, I think he's actually with Golden Boy, right? He's like...
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so there you go. And when I started looking into the start, like, the lead up to this fight, I was like, what is going on here? Did you hear, like, all the things that led up to the fight?
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, all the antics?
It was hard to ignore it. And did you actually see the fight? Have you watched it in replay?
I didn't watch the whole replay of it. I just watched various highlights and rounds and things like that.
It's a pretty good fight. It's a pretty entertaining, like, slobber knocker for what it is.
So just to give a preview, like, some background for people here. So I guess... this is the first time, really, Ryan Garcia has acted out like this, right? Like, to this extent, before a fight?
I mean, this is the most, I guess, severe he's acted out. He's always been, right, like you said, he's an online personality, and that's kind of what makes him so popular in the world of boxing. It's not that he's necessarily, like, this elite talent, but he has a pretty large online following. He's, like, an attractive party boy who has... I mean, ludicrous hand speed. This is definitely the most that I've ever seen. Yeah, I don't think he's been known for acting out in this sort of way. And it's not even acting out. It's his own family wanted him to go to a psych ward, right? Like, it's not just like, ooh, he was being rude or like trash talking or being silly. He was, showing signs of troubling behavior if you're about to get into a professional fist fight.
Yeah, so, like, I guess previously, like, everything that I had seen of him leading up to fights is, like, he basically did his own version of, like, you know, like, the old, like, HBO 24/7, like, leading up to fights, like, before this fight, where he'd basically just, you know, use Instagram or TikTok to, like, just highlight his, you know, like you said, like, his hand speed, his training, his sparring matches, and he'd just talk to the camera that way. That's how he, like... gained a lot of online following. But this time for Haney, well, I guess back up. So because he and Devin Haney have history, apparently during their amateur careers, they fought like six times at various levels, like at the junior Golden Gloves and all Golden Gloves and all the way up. And apparently, and it's not really like confirmed, but apparently they basically like split all the matches. So it was like 3-3. So they were like, this was considered a, even though it was their first professional match together, it was their rubber match to see like who was actually on top. And I guess leading up to the fight.
Well, hold on a sec. It wasn't necessarily like that this was to see who was on top. There wasn't necessarily that bad blood in it. It was essentially Devin Haney had beaten Lomachenko for a belt, or maybe he won it off of Pro Gray. So he had one of the belts, and rather than taking his mandatory or fighting to unify it, he thought, hey, Ryan Haney just got torched by Gervonta Davis. Let me fight Ryan Garcia. He's the biggest name. It'll be the biggest draw. and that'll sell. And I can use the fact that we've competed in the past as a way to justify it to whatever boxing athletic commission organization has his belt, right?
So do you know who called out who?
I think it was... I don't know, like, the evolution of the call-out or any of the, like, the back and forth within that negotiation, but I know that Devin Haney had a mandatory that he was supposed to do, and he was able to convince... which fucking belt does he have?
It's anyway. The WBC.
Okay, yeah, he was able to convince the WBC to, like, grant Ryan Garcia the title shot over...
hey, what else?
Mandatory was, yeah.
Okay.
Mostly for, right, I mean, boxing commissions and all that shit are entirely corrupt and motivated entirely by money. But Ryan Garcia basically is, like, the biggest draw outside of Gervonta Davis in that division. Mm-hmm. So just easy to take Devin Haney, who I don't think has performed well on pay-per-view in the past, and just say, hey, now we can have Ryan Garcia come in, bump up pay-per-view sales, bump up the gate, and we all make more money.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they get the fight established, and they, like you said, there is quote unquote history between the two. And then for like months, Ryan Garcia is just posting and talking in interviews about random crazy shit. Like he's just throwing out things, like you said, like leading up to the fight and to be like mentally evaluated. I mean, he's saying stuff that like, hey, like Tupac's alive. Hey, like I died and came back. Like I'm resurrected. And like basically like throwing out threats to random people too. Like eventually at one point he told a reporter, I think, like, shut up, I'm gonna shove my dick in your mouth or something. Like just outlandish shit here. And
yeah, here I have a couple of the tweets. All caps at 3 a.m. in the morning. Attention to those who sold their soul. There is a way back. You can't sell your soul. Your soul belongs to God. So it wasn't yours to sell anyway. You didn't read the contract you just signed. Probably didn't care. It's 3 a.m. Even in the dark, I light up. You see everything coming out now. Then he talks about help, screenshot. The files of UFOs are coming out for a reason. They are slowly releasing it so you can be brainwashed and accustomed of aliens when the rapture happens. They blame it on... A-lines? I think he's meaning aliens, and everyone on Earth is still confused. Let them know, Elon, they are creating a robot society, removing humans, which I believe is the plot of Fallout 4, where people are just getting replaced with synths. Well, and more than that, right? Like, okay, Americans, how many people in North America hold, like, weird conspiracy theories about, like, lizards running the government or Pizzagate?
Right.
What's more is people on TikTok and Instagram live seeing him at the club every day drinking, doing coke, like, yeah. That was what was more concerning, was that he's preparing for one of the two biggest fights of his entire life, and he doesn't seem to be taking training especially serious, at least in the way that you would consider a professional athlete to take training.
Yeah, and he's just like, it just seemed like a very quick downward spiral. And like the, I don't know if you watched this, but GQ did like a sports one-on-one interview with them. And apparently this was like a couple, like maybe like a month or two before the fight. So a lot of these antics have been happening. And it got to the point where like Devin Haney wouldn't be in the room with, it's supposed to be them in the room together, but they didn't want to be together in the room for this. So they just filmed each of them individually and then cut it to like make it look like they were sitting apart from each other.
Ugh.
And they did say like, hey, we filmed this separately, but just the way they edited it made it like more entertained that way. But it was just so ridiculous with that interview and how they were like interacting. Okay, so then on the actual, like for the fight, the day before during weigh-ins, apparently Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney make like this side bet where they said, okay, if Ryan Garcia doesn't make weight for every pound over, he has to forfeit $500,000 to Devin Haney. And Ryan Garcia came in 3 pounds heavy and chugged a beer on the scale as he came in heavy. Like,
Which supposedly the beer was just an empty beer bottle with apple juice and sparkling water in it.
Okay.
To appear to be beer. Like, part of this is, like, some of the, his wackiness, I think the tweets that he's sending out, with some of the things he's saying, might be a little, like, performative. I think he still probably is having a mental breakdown, but maybe he's just kind of, like, he's hamming it up for the crowd. And I think the beer thing, and probably even the 3 pounds, right? 3 pounds, much more than MMA. If you're an MMA fan, you're used to, like, huge jumps in weight classes, but, like, very small pound differences in boxing make a huge difference.
Yeah.
I had seen something where, right, if he was 5 pounds over, the commission would stop it, right, because he's basically to the next weight class. And if you are 1 or 2 pounds over, the commission will usually ask you to attempt to cut the weight again, right? They'll give you an extra hour and supervise you to see. Because a lot of these guys don't actually like cut weight, right? They're not like, not like MMA where they're sweating out 20 pounds.
Yeah. They're still cutting weight, but.
Yeah. But 3 pounds is just enough over where they're not going to ask you to cut the extra weight, but not so far over that you're going to get the fight canceled. And it is still an advantage to have those 3 pounds on you.
Right.
So that might have also been a like, possibly a very calculated move on his part, but just because you make one calculated move doesn't suddenly negate everything. How many crazy people in history have like paid their taxes on time? You know, like just to make sure they don't get in trouble with the IRS. Like that happens.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. So he essentially comes in overweight. So that means he forfeits, according to this bet, like $1.5 million of his fight purse to Haney.
And he followed through on it, apparently. He said,
Devin Haney tweeted out, said like, hey, he followed up on his bet there. And then he also couldn't win the WBC title. So basically, Devin Haney could only lose it.
No, he couldn't even lose it.
He couldn't lose it. I thought it said that he could lose it.
No, he's still the champion. It didn't do anything. The only effect that the fight then now has is just monetary and a win or loss on their record. It has nothing to do with the standings or the rankings.
Well, there you go then. So with all this happening, the New York State Athletic Commission then actually mandated a mental health evaluation of Ryan Garcia, which he passed, apparently. Yep. So they actually have their fight that night on Saturday in New York. And like you said, it was a fairly entertaining back and forth fight, but Ryan Garcia knocked down Devin Haney 3 times in the fight different rounds. And he came out with the win at the end. And after all this like hoopla and everything, you know, Ryan Garcia does come out and say like, oh yeah, all the stuff I did is like, it was just to play mind games with him. It was just to like get in his head. And, you know, even me missing weight, like he claims that Floyd Mayweather told him to do that so that he'd like come in stronger for the fight. And again, another crazy claim. He said he put a bet on himself to win, saying that he put.
Yeah, that's a real thing. That's not even a crazy, the bet that he placed, like that's confirmed.
That's actually confirmed that
it's confirmed.
So he put $2 million on himself to beat Devin Haney, and then he made another $12 million. So apparently he made $50 million for the fight plus the $12 million.
No, he didn't make $50 million for the fight. That's
what he tweeted out. So
yeah, that's not true. Not in a million fucking years, dude. $50 million is not what. Like, unless you're fighting in Saudi Arabia, like, in front of the Crown Prince, you're not making $50 million.
So what do you think he made for this fight, then?
I don't know. Was there a disclosed payout for the Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis?
I did not look into that one. But yeah. So, okay. My question in all this here was, like, okay, one, it seemed to work, like his whole strategy leading up to this fight or whatever.
Well, hold on. Is that the lesson we take?
No, not the lesson. It's like my question is like, did it work, but also, like, what does this do for, like, Ryan Garcia and boxing as a whole? Because, like, yes, it got him paid. Yes, he got a win on his record. And Devin Haney got his first loss on his record. But, like, championships didn't change hands.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tainted win in some people's eyes because he didn't make weight. And, like, you know, like, what is this? What do we do with this here? It's, like, it's just kind of, like, again, the whole boxing is, like, corrupt and doesn't matter. And I don't know. I don't even know what we do with this, especially since they're both, like, these two young, like, supposedly up-and-coming superstars. Like, they're both 25.
Well, I think, like, the three things that I guess change coming out of it is, and I'll put like my cards on the table. I thought Devin Haney would absolutely beat Ryan Garcia.
Oh, I thought he was gonna. Yeah,
yeah. What it really showed is Devin Haney was overrated by most people, and does have like massive holes in his game. Right, like his ability to block the left hook is not right. Good. He as soon as you take the jab away from him, or he's hurt and he forgets to start using his jab, he really doesn't have like a plan B. Like everything in his game is built off that jab, and the second that jab is smothered, or when Ryan Garcia just decides to go ape on him, and the jab isn't enough to deter him, he kind of again at a high level of boxing, he kind of crumples. I'm not saying against the majority of boxers, so he needs to take a step back and like fix that shit.
On that note, yeah. Do you think Devin Haney was rattled at all by all these things that were leading up to it?
No. I think what this fight proved is that being bigger and more athletic is cheating. Like that's essentially what it means, right? Like it's basically it's its own. I've kind of like always felt this because I mean. You and I have both, for anyone in the audience who, like, you know, obviously doesn't, like, know us, we both trained, like, together for quite a long time, right? And mm-hmm. there are some people that come into the gym, and they're just, like, athletic, and you're like, fuck you, I spent, like, 6 months practicing that technique, or, like, this, and you picked it up in 24 hours, and you're, like, doing it better than me. Like, fuck that. right? Like, Ryan Garcia was able, it doesn't mean he'll always be able to do it, right? Like drinking every night, doing coke, you know, most weeks. But like Ricky Hatton got away with that during his career until he really fell off, right? Apparently Tyson Fury was doing that for a couple of his fights as well. Like if you have been gifted by genetics, amazing athleticism, how many, like Allen Iverson was just fucking like schooling fools in the court and was a crazy partier who was not sleeping, who was not attending practices, right? Like, if you are just an athletic freak, guess what? It's better than having performance-enhancing drugs. You just get to be better than everyone no matter what. Life is unfair. The universe doesn't care about you. And Devin Haney learned that pretty profoundly, right? That's the lesson I kind of take from this, is, like, not so much, ooh, what's this, what's that, what is it mine? It's like, dude, Ryan Garcia, one, was way bigger than him, and it looked like every time Ryan was faster, and every time Ryan touched him, it seemed to deal a lot more, like, concussive damage to mm-hmm. Devin Haney. Mm-hmm. It's just, he just was a bigger, better athlete. I remember in high school, we had a guy who went on to play for University of Oregon, which at the time in Pac-10 was like the top college football team. And I remember when he would play like our high school games, you'd like see him at like homecoming. And it was just like the second he played running back, the second he got the ball, like people would like tackle him and like ping off of him like children. Like it didn't matter. And it's like, yeah, like if you just are a hoss, you can get away with, I mean, Ryan had no footwork. He wasn't like throwing intelligent combinations. There was nothing within the fight that I was like, oh wow, this is how you should teach someone to fight. It was just like, bro hits hard, bro's big. He's got fast hands and he's got good eyesight. So when he lands, man, anyway, So that's the lesson I take from this.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think it's like, ooh, acting crazy got in Devin Haney's head. Devin Haney's a professional. He fought like Lomachenko, right? Like, not that Lomachenko acts crazy, but like that's such a hard fight to like understand what you're going to do. It's easy to get confused within the ring when you're fighting someone like that. So I don't think somebody just acting like a weirdo is going to like really throw him off his game, especially because they fought so many times before. It just ended up being like, hey, if you're much more athletic than someone else, you get to win. It just fucking sucks. It's the most annoying thing about watching this fight sports. It's like occasionally you just get somebody come through and you're like, ah, well, all right. You're so insulated from a lot of things because of your athleticism.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Okay, but do you think, aside from just like, all right, I guess bigger, more athletic people win, what do you think this does either for the division or for boxing as a whole? Because I think this kind of like, I don't think it really helps the whole, like what we were talking about the other week about how like we've got boxers coming in who are, you know, unifying belts and kind of revitalizing the sport. I think this could actually kind of put a taint on it, you know?
Yeah. Was this at lightweight or light welter?
It was for the 140? So what is that, light welter?
So you've got, oh, okay. Yeah. So what does it do for that division?
Oh, no, it's the super lightweight.
Super light. So is that light welter at the moment? Okay, so you've got Isaac Cruz, who has the WBA. You've got Subriel Matisse at the IBF. You have Teofimo at the WBO. Josh Taylor, Regis Progre. Like, I don't know. I mean, it definitely sets back. I mean, again, like Teofimo Lopez, another guy kind of like Ryan Garcia, who, like, absolutely losing his mind constantly and still, because he's just such an athletic freak, gets wins. Teofimo is also a lot better than Ryan Garcia. I don't know. Like, it doesn't, I'm not clutching my pearls over anything about it, right? Like, it's going to be what it is. Devin Haney needs to take a step back and, like, tighten up some of his defensive, the holes in his defensive game. And with Ryan Garcia, he'll probably, what? He can fight Teofimo Lopez now. He said he's going to move up. He doesn't want to fight at this weight class. He wants to fight, what was he calling out, Errol Spence? He move up, fight other people, right? These guys put on exciting fights. And eventually, if people get placed in fights that are top contenders, the division will work itself out. The issue is essentially when you just get stalemates where people don't fight or it's constantly, like, moving and it takes forever to find any order, like, just get them back. But I hope Ryan Garcia, for his sake, you know, I don't think this is some sort of like Andy Kaufman-esque, like all a mind game. He's totally different, like, character. Like, he's Christian Bale in The Prestige or some shit. Like, this obviously, his family was the one that wanted to get him committed. He is drinking every night. He is doing drugs every night. Not to get into like addiction theory, but like that's usually not because someone is just partying for funsies. That's usually because there's something going on in your life where you're extremely stressed or you're trying to cover for something that mentally is you. So right, I hope he gets the help he needs, and I hope Devin Haney takes a step back. It might be worthwhile adding a trainer to his division. He's been training under his father out in, I think they're in SF. Is that right?
Really?
Or are they in Oakland? Yeah.
I'm not
sure.
They're
in the Bay Area.
Oh.
Yeah, man, he's local to you. He's right near you.
Like I said, do not follow boxing that much.
just maybe get a new trainer in. I'm not advocating to replace his father as his head trainer, but it might be good to just get a different look. Because if you've come this far and, like, you really struggle with somebody who has a dynamite left hook, right, you're going to keep struggling when you bump up against the elite of the division.
Mm.
So, yeah. But it was an entertaining fight. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's okay to have a little chaos in these divisions. We have so many good fights and so many good divisions. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I guess the reason I bring that up is because I really see boxing kind of going in these, like, two divergent paths where you've got the one where it's like, okay, like, true boxers that we'll be talking about in a little bit, but, like, they're revitalizing the sport of boxing, you know, and they're doing things like unifying belts, dominating weight classes, things like that, you know, and it's across multiple different weight classes where we have different boxers doing this. But you also have this other side where it's kind of become this like entertainment boxing, where you've got like different personalities coming in to box or like try to like create fights that maybe don't have the like status allure of mm-hmm. like unifying belts or anything like that, but it's just like they're big payday fights. Now we've always had that in boxing, yeah, but
I was gonna say of most sports,
but this, this but you is, have this like
is the freak show like side tent at the carnival.
Yeah, yeah, but like, and especially with how people get garner attention and clout, like through things like social media and things like that, like to drum up either their status or like it just seems like this fight kind of straddled both of those atmospheres. You know what I mean? Where it was like doing things for the entertainment value or trying to drum it up, but also like it could have been to like start cementing who's the king of these divisions or who's gonna like as the new generation's coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan occupies a really weird we've harped on for almost like 30 minutes about this fight,
but yeah.
Like it's like Ryan he's not been explicit, but like his behavior strikes me as someone who like doesn't necessarily want or is not necessarily concerned with like my goal is to be the greatest lightweight in boxing at the moment, right?
Yeah,
he seems
yeah.
much more obsessed with the celebrity aspect of being a professional boxer. Which all of these guys in some degree are, besides maybe like Terrence Crawford, who though I think even like after he beat Errol Spence, you know, you get the limelight and you like it. But I think Ryan Garcia is a little bit more obsessed with that. It's weird because he's too good to be a quote-unquote influencer boxer, right? Like
right.
There's no one for him to really, he can't beat up like a Twitch streamer. He'd murder that. Right, I mean, like he beat the bejesus out of Devin Haney, but it doesn't seem like he wants to necessarily put in the work that would be required of him to like maybe come back and beat Gervonta Davis or match up with Teofimo Lopez or beat, you know, Terrence Crawford or whatever the case may be. So I don't know, right? Like again, I think it shows that a lot of people love to talk about like you have to live a certain lifestyle, like be basically a monk, and like the sacrifices that you make is what's gonna like ultimately propel you to greatness. And like this is another one of those like fights where you kind of get shoved in your face that like that's not the case for everyone though, right? Like that like wisdom about like if you eat, you have to eat clean and live a certain way and do all this stuff, otherwise you'll never succeed. Turns out no, you can just be batshit and drink and do coke and be okay as long as you have the gifts, right? Right. Of course, I'm being a bit like facetious, but like, yeah, this. So I don't know. It was a fun fight. Ryan Garcia puts on fun fights. So I hope for his sake he gets kind of his like mental health in order and can get to like a better place. And I hope Devin Haney comes back and has learned from it. But besides that, yeah, like what I mean. We got so many good fights, like it doesn't really matter if this like screws up this one belt in this one division.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, fuck it.
All right. I like it. All right. Speaking of all these great fights, why don't you start us off? We got some like things you listed here.
Oh, yeah.
Like okay. Oh man.
So
give look, us a sweet preview.
Yeah, I was looking at the UFC events and what we got, 4 or 5? Spoiler alert, we're filming this like on Friday, 12:01 AM. So tomorrow we have that UFC Apex card headlined by flyweights Nicolau and Perez. I looked at that card and I'm like, wow, this card sucks. And I was like, well,
I looked at that.
Yeah.
And I don't know a single fighter. I literally.
Well, come on, man. That's like, a bummer.
Yeah, it is. It is.
and then I looked at 301 and I was like, this card fucking sucks. And then I looked at. The next two cards after that. And I was like, wow, these cards fucking suck. And I was like, there are between all of those cards, every card between now and the UFC 302, the Poirier Islam Makhachev fight. So in between those 2 dates, I think there are 4 cards. There's maybe 10, and that's me being generous, 10 good fights.
I was going to say, like, really? Like 10? Like, just eyeballing some of this, like...
No, there are 10, right? Like, and some of that... Okay, so, like, for instance, I think this weekend there's Tim Means versus Juros Medic. Right, is that going to be necessarily the highest caliber elite fight? No, but, like, Tim Means is great. I love his technique. When he's fighting in the clinch, his, like, dirty boxing and his, like, elbows that he turns over in the clinch, very exciting. He's always game. Juros Medic, a good fighter. It should be a good stand-up fight, right?
Like, okay.
I'm at least like, oh, okay, that could be interesting. That could be a good fight. But only 10 fights between those. And so I was like, that sucks. Cards. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. That you've got one card, basically, between those four that's, like, decent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in May, bro, boxing is, it's good. So on the 4th, we've got, you can finally watch Big Red. Canelo is fighting Jaime Munguia. Which it's not the fight we all want. We all want, well, I know you don't watch Canelo, but what we all want is Canelo.
I watched a little bit of Canelo.
Versus David Benavidez. Like, that's the fight to make. But I love the Canelo Jaime Munguia fight. Like, that should be an absolute banger. Great fight. It's Cinco de Mayo weekend. Always a pleasure to watch Canelo. That should be great.
Where are they fighting, by the way?
I don't know.
Okay, the only reason I bring that up is because when Canelo fought, who was it? Two fights ago. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Oh, it's in Las Vegas. It's the T-Mobile Arena.
Okay, so also, man, Canelo is only 33. Like, goddamn. Like, he's been fighting so long, but he's so young. But anyway, when he fought John Ryder in Mexico, like, holy shit. Like, I was just watching highlights, and for some, and I was like, why is this, like, highlight so long? Like, part of it was his walkout. And whoa, my God, that man, like, I know he was a superstar. I didn't know, like, he's, like, on the level of, like country folklore superhero level. Like, his walkout, like, when I watched, I was like, man, if I was John Ryder standing in that ring, just kind of warming it up and be like, man, fuck this. Like, I'm like so out. Like, everyone, thousands of people, like, are here just to watch me get my ass beat right now. Like,
Oh yeah, Canelo's he's the biggest star in boxing right now. And especially you taking his home soil. I mean, anyone who hasn't watched boxing, the Mexican crowd, Mexico, a long history of being like diehard fight fans. So yeah, phenomenal. So you got Canelo versus Munguia. I think Canelo will win, but, like, should be a good fight. Okay. Great. Yeah. Then after that, your boy, Inoue, is fighting. Yeah. He's fighting Neary. Like, I love watching Inoue fight. He's a great fighter. He's always entertaining. He is very deserving of the nickname The Monster. I think this should probably be a squash match against Neary. But cool. Then you get to watch Inoue, like, basically at the height of his powers right now. Just take it to someone. And that's pretty entertaining.
Right? So I want to ask you something about Inoue as well. I've been seeing some articles come out lately, and especially since they're fighting in Japan. Mm-hmm. And do you think, like there's a lot of criticism surrounding Inoue that he won't fight outside of Japan, and like his stardom or the, again, his legitimacy, like, isn't going to be as great as it would be if he didn't fight in like America. What are your what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I probably, if he is not going to fight in the United States, he won't be as much of a global superstar as if he stays in one country.
Right.
But
right.
The criticism of a boxer not wanting to leave their home country where he is a superstar, where he doesn't have to fly, you know, like on a 20-hour flight to fucking make it to the United States to fight. That strikes me as, like, people complaining about, like, oh, all these kids, all they want to do is, like, work from home. They don't want to go into the office. It's like, fuck you. If I can do my job where I'm at, I'm just going to do it here. I wish he would come to the U.S. so that the fights, I could watch them live and not have them be at, like, 3 a.m. Like, just, or even if he just comes over to, like, Hawaii or just, like, somebody closer to the Pacific time zone, that'd be great. But, like, I did this strikes me as like some boomer level thinking, right? Just like, oh man, he's not doing the thing that I really want, so it's gonna hurt his stardom. Who cares? He's fine with that. If he's fine with that, then I'm fine with that, right? Like, whatever. Yeah. I mean, right? It's true, right? If like you don't act in a Hollywood movie, if you don't act in a Marvel movie, you're not gonna be as big a star as you could be. But like, if you don't want to act in a superhero movie, then fucking don't. Like, whatever. So yeah, I don't. That bothers me. Not at all. Yeah. So yeah. All right, Next, the week after that, we just got the back-to-back Colin Love doubleheader. It's in a way, and the next week we got Loma.
May was made for me to get back into boxing. This is how it is.
He's fighting Kambosos Jr. I mean, should be a good fight. Loma is a little bit over the hill. Still a phenomenal fighter, but like definitely not within his prime performance. And his performances of getting a little bit weaker, which makes sense. He's just like getting older. He's had, I mean, is it like what, 600 fights or some shit? Like,
yeah, so many amateur fights.
A great fight. Kambosos Jr. Is a good opponent, right? He's an elite fighter himself. So great. We get to watch Loma fight someone that should test him and like has good skill. Great. It's a great fight. You got the back to back in a way, and Loma probably getting fights that they should win. So we all get to celebrate Colin's favorite fighters. At the end of the week, or at the end of the month, you got Usyk versus Fury, the heavyweight fight, right? So, okay, we start with Canelo. You get your big box office draw. If you're really into like, ooh, I want to see the big pomp and circumstance and flash of boxing, you've got that. Then you get to watch Inoue and Loma and go, ooh, I can see why Colin likes this, or, oh, Colin only likes tiny men. But you get to see them perform really well. And then the big boys come out, the big uglies at the very end. And you get to watch... two of the most skilled heavyweight boxers in a decade, who are both undefeated, for the first time unite the four belts in the heavyweight division. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And then on June 1st, I know I'm skipping. Right now we're bumping up against UFC 302, but you have what I think personally is the best fight the four belt undisputed light heavyweight championship. Again, that's never been done. Those four belts have never been brought together. Dmitry Bivol and Beterbiev are gonna fight. Have you watched any of their fights?
Until you listed this, I didn't know who these guys were.
Bro, and just
like,
you gotta watch them. They are Beterbiev, 20 wins, 20 KOs.
Jesus, yeah.
Just a Russian badass. 300 amateur fights. He lost to Usyk in the Olympics when they both competed. But Beterbiev, I mean, just goes for the finish, a murderer. His fights are always exciting, highly skilled, and it's light heavyweight, right? So if you are one of these fight fans who's like, ooh, Colin, 110 pounds, I could throw them around, blah blah blah, these two dudes are massive and will beat you within an inch of your stupid life. Like, they are so good. And then out of Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, again, one of these stands in the middle, 22 wins, 11 KOs, again, like almost 300 amateur fights, another super skilled fighter, who beat Canelo recently when Canelo won up. We're finally going to have these two guys come together. Like, oh, what more could you want for in a boxing match? It's going to be amazing. Super skilled, like highly, highly skilled elite fighters, not just for their time and place, but like as light heavyweight comes, these are extremely good fighters. If you match them up against like any other boxer within this division throughout history. So what a great, what is that, six fight cards in a row, five fight cards in a row?
Basically 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and so while you can either watch the Derek Lewis random unranked heavyweight main event, or look, Edson Barbosa, Lerone Murphy, good fight. Is it a main event fight? I don't know about that. Or bro, watch Llama, watch Inoue, watch Fury and Usyk. This is a good month, Colin, to get back into boxing.
Hey, we talked about before, you know, with matches and things, sometimes timing is everything. And man, am I glad that we started talking about this, because May would have just rolled past me and I would have been like doing fucking nothing. And I'm hyped.
Well, it's good to know that you don't do anything when there's no fights. You just sit in a room quietly.
Yes, yes. In my meditative state, yeah. Just waiting. No, but this is going to be great. Like, I'm like, now that you've highlighted these, I'm definitely going to be watching them. I'm very, very excited for these here.
Yeah, and like, let's actually, okay, so Nicolau Perez, Pantoja Ursig, Luis Nascimento, and Barbosa Murphy are the cards going up against these. Like, come on now, guys. Guys and gals, anyone listening, any human alive, like, you know what you need to watch. Boxing fight. Come on. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my little rant about boxing in May. It's a great month. Watch them all.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm down.
Yeah. It's gonna be stellar. And even if you don't watch boxing, you find it really boring, right? Like, these are the events to like get you excited, because you're gonna not only the fanfare of Canelo, in a way, is gonna stomp someone into the dirt. You can watch Lowe like dance around and like really appreciate footwork. And then the last two fights are just a bunch of big dudes who are probably going to hurt each other. Like, everyone understands that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what else you want to talk about? We've talked a lot about boxing, so definitely no one is listening anymore if they were at all.
Well, hang on. You have convinced me to dive back into the world of boxing, so perhaps... This will bring some people to the light.
It was, if I can just convert you, Colin, that's all that matters.
that's touching there. No, that I think that's good there. So is there anything
else? Nothing else off the top of my head. I mean, we're eventually gonna need to talk about these fucking Apex events.
I think after this weekend's card, yes, let's do that there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, is there anything else that popped up this week you want to talk about?
I'm good, but I think this is a very exciting, like you said, just a very exciting moment for boxing, and it can help kind of revitalize and launch it back in. You know, especially now,
see, this is what I'm telling you. It's been revitalized. Like,
yeah,
you've just waited till like hot boy summer to realize that this one's been getting a glow up for a long time.
Hey, timing, man.
Yeah. I know you're catching it when it's going out on the town, fresh haircut, it's been moisturized, like this, it's been good for a while. It's been looking pretty good.
Hey, it's the best time though. So
yeah, I guess.
All right, why don't you take us home then?
All right. Well, this has been Two Fight Fans Podcast. I'm one Fight Fan, Stuart.
I'm the other, Colin.
And next week. Oh no, I know what we're gonna do next week. We'll preview UFC 301, which has like three fights worthwhile on it. we'll talk about the return of the King of Rio, Jose Aldo, and kind of reminisce on his career, which was, I mean, still probably top three best careers in MMA that I've seen.
Yeah. All right. We'll catch you then. Thanks.
Bye.